Good morning. Well, I'm Josh, and during the week, Monday to Friday, I'm a chaplain at a secondary school in Felixstowe, which I think is a fantastic job to have. But during the weekend, I change hats, and I become a little rep for Tear Fund. And I get to visit a whole range of different churches and events, sharing about the work that Tear Fund does overseas, helping those at most in need. It really is a privilege sometimes. And I say that because I get to visit some very weird and wonderful places. And so whenever I go and visit a church, I have a little scribble at the top of my notes which says, thank the church for their warm welcome. Thank you. Tell them how lovely it is to be with them. It's lovely to be with you. And if necessary, lie. And I'm very thankful I don't have to twist the truth this morning. Genuinely thank you. It is lovely to be here with you and your church family. I don't know if any of you watched the Great British Bake Off last year. Staying on the cake theme, I have to admit that Nina and I watched every episode. If you haven't watched it, it's a baking competition, and it's set in the grounds of a beautiful stately home, in a marquee, in the summer. It's this great sense of British niceness, kind of baking little cakes and drinking tea out of china cups. It's a very, very lovely programme. But underneath all of the niceness is the steely determination of the contestants, who are there to win and nothing else. They try week after week to outdo each other with their cakes and their pastries. And they're just the most extraordinary extravaganzas sometimes. It is often a shame to eat them. But my favourite bit of the programme, and I sit there waiting for it to happen, is when the presenters Mel and Sue announce that there's about 5 minutes left. And I love that part because chaos breaks loose. Cakes suddenly collapse, icing is kind of thrown about. You can see contestants clutching for the knives if all else fails, in a desperate attempt to try and pull it all together. It's classed as an entertaining programme, but Nina and I often laugh and gasp our way through the whole thing. The sad reality is that for us in the West, a lot of our food is about entertainment, just like the Great British Bake Off. And we have the privilege of being able to go to a supermarket and having luxury goods from every country of the world at our reach in those aisles. Particularly bread. Bread is something that on Bake Off is crafted into extravagant sculptures, it's crafted into cornucopia horns, it's something that's admired by judges. But actually, bread to the majority of the world's population, some 900 million people, one person in every nine, is something that they can only dream of. And I often wonder, how are we still living in a world where there is such a disparity between the haves and the have-nots? How are we still living in a world where one in nine of the population is starving? How are we living in a world where there's more mobile phones than toilets? Which begs the question, which one would you rather have? And we all know, of course, that it's children who are the most vulnerable. When it comes to poverty, when it comes to the lack of food and starvation, children are always the ones who can pay the price first. And so Tear Fund this year are actively supporting families who find themselves in that very situation. And we're going to watch a video now about a child called Yasmin that I introduced a bit earlier, and her mum, Jemana, who live in Chad.
Jemana is not without hope. Jesus and his church are here. But she and her children are hungry. This thin soup is all she can give them today. Her family are farmers, but she has had to turn to weaving because their crops have failed in the drought and scorching heat. The bitter irony is that while a basket takes 5 days to make, she can only sell it for enough to buy food for two meals. We must help them. Tear Fund's call is to the places of greatest need. We're in Jumana's village, shoulder to shoulder with families close to starvation, bringing long-term solutions as well as emergency food that will save lives. Food that will feed Jumana's children.
The only day that my daughter Yasmin was happy was the day they distributed foodstuff to us. I was able to prepare good food for my children.
Through their faith and hard work, the local church, supported by Tear Fund, are bringing hope to this village.
Jesus fed a huge number in his time. So he would act. He would act so that the community could have something to put on the table.
Because of the work of the local church, Jumana has hope. Jesus is here. But tonight, her children go to sleep hungry again. Her basket is empty. You can help fill it. Please, give like Jesus.
So right now, Tear Fund is in Jumana's village, and I'm going to talk a little bit later about an update that we've had from that place. They're working with the local church, trying to provide short-term solutions, but also long-term solutions to help families like Jumana's who are living in poverty. I've watched that video a few times, and I think the thing that always gets me is the phrase where she has to say, "We lost hope months ago, but we still have to live." I don't know how good you were at geography at school. I was pretty terrible, so I do appreciate always a little bit of background and cultural information. It's estimated that in that Sahel region of Africa, nearly 6 million children, which is one in five, will suffer from acute malnutrition this year. And those 6 million children are not likely to make it to their fifth birthday. And it's not surprising when we see in the video the things that they were eating. We saw that really thin, watery soup. That was often the only meal they would have in the day. It's shocking and unimaginable that that soup is made from grains which had to be collected from ants' nests. A family has had to resort to stealing from an ant's nest in order to make some food for themselves and their children. And it's uncomfortable for me to say these things. I don't enjoy saying these things, and no doubt it's uncomfortable to hear. But sadly, this is some of the reality of the world in which we live. And in a world of half-truths and alternative facts and fake news, sometimes we need to occasionally be reminded of the struggle that our brothers and sisters in Christ face on a daily basis. Although the upside is that having an awareness of what's happening in our world through the work of Tear Fund and other overseas charities is that it allows us to potentially do something about it. It allows us to have the knowledge and the ability to make a response. And the reading we heard earlier shows Jesus literally creating something out of nothing, despite all of the immediate catering issues with all of those people. He took the loaves and the fish offered by that young boy, and he does something miraculous with it to provide for those who were in need. And when I read not only that story, but the rest of the scriptures, I don't believe that it describes Christ as someone who stands at the sidelines while people struggle. I don't believe in a God who puts on a filter and ignores poverty and hardship. But don't we believe in a God who came to give us life in abundance, life in all its fullness, to give us the promise of a hope and a future? A God whose heart actually breaks with ours when there's suffering in the world. And I hope that nobody else in Jumana's village has to say those words, "We lost hope months ago," ever again. When Jesus fed those 5,000 people, and more, he described himself as the bread of life. And we see in that story how Jesus had compassion on the crowd. He asked the disciples what was in their hands immediately to help. And he took the small thing that was offered. He blessed them, he broke them, and he performed a miracle. The disciples found, as we can also find, that a small gift given in faith can make a huge difference. And I wonder if we are up to that challenge this morning, of praying and searching our hearts over what we might be able to give. Because if we did, we would be joining with Tear Fund and their local church partners to help families like Jemana's, to teach them new farming techniques, new irrigation methods that will eventually support the whole community to lift itself out of poverty. Jemana, despite her hunger, she places her hope, as we do, in a God who feeds the hungry. And she prays and she works hard every day to find a way to help her family. And so we saw in the video that she's making baskets. She's doing something to help. She's doing something proactive. And that involves her finding reeds, leaving them in the sun to dry, maybe dyeing them different colours, manipulating them, softening them, and skillfully weaving them into those baskets that we saw. They say that a basket can provide for about 2 meals. And it's exhausting just thinking about the process that she has to go through just to feed her own child. Nina and I had Reuben 4 months ago, and our first child, so of course we're excited and terrified as we try and bumble our way through parenthood. But our beautiful home that we spent so many years working on is now filled with cots and toys and muslins and, I keep wanting to say prams, but the lady at John Lewis said it's called a travel system. So that's not the only thing I called it when I was trying to set it up this morning. The travel system takes up quite a lot of space. I struggle to think what it would be like if I wasn't able to provide for Reuben. And I struggle to think what it must be like for Jemana not being able to provide for her children each and every day. And so no wonder she goes to such extreme lengths to make baskets such as these. And Tear Fund have sent through of these three, which is absolutely fantastic, from Jemana's village. The great thing is that with these baskets, you can smell the reeds that she was weaving. You can see bits of the Sahel Desert embedded in the twists of the weaving. And in holding an object such as this, we can have a connection with our brothers and sisters in Christ who might be in a situation less fortunate than us. The sad irony is that Jemana actually sells these baskets on the market as a bread basket. And as we've already heard, it's ironic that she makes bread baskets when there is no bread. In John 6, Jesus said, "I am the bread of life, and whoever comes to me will never go hungry." And as the church in this country, as God's hands and feet, we must act on behalf of those who will suffer from lack of food. The 5,500 children who will die today from lack of food. That's 4 children every minute, or over 50 children since I started talking. And it's so difficult to know what to do. It's awkward. And even with the young people I work with at school, who are the most connected, globally aware generation that the planet has ever seen, they really struggle to know, how can I make a difference in such an enormous problem? Trying to bring a little bit of light into what seems like overwhelming darkness. Well, one way in which you could respond is by using this. And you may have been given one of these as you came in. It's a card which has a little bit of explanation about the work that Tear Fund is doing in Chad at the moment. And it's a chance to sign up to give regularly to support the work of Tear Fund overseas. They say as a guide that to provide a child like Yasmin with 2 nutritious meals a day costs about £10 a month. And some people like to have that figure in their head. But of course, any amount that's given regularly always helps and makes a significant difference. And Tear Fund have told me that anyone who does complete one of these and hands it back to me at the end of the service, they can take away a basket to have that connection with Jemana's village. In all of these struggles, there is always hope. I believe in a God who tells us that there is always hope. And I received an update from Tear Fund a few weeks ago about Jemana's village in Chad, and the news in the update was only possible because of the amazing support that people and churches like yourselves give to Tear Fund and other organisations. So here's the update that came through. Tear Fund's Global Food Security and Livelihoods Advisor has recently returned from Chad, where she was able to meet with Jemana and Yasmin. She reported that the rains had finally come, and this had caused everything to look very different to the scenes we saw in the film earlier. The Food for Work programme is now bearing fruit, and the community have been trained to build dikes through the programme, which has enabled them to block the rainwater and saturate the ground instead of it washing the soil away. This has enabled them to plant better crops, which are now growing much better. Jemana has been able to start a business through the support of Tear Fund's partner, which is doing well. And this has enabled her to purchase a saddle with pockets for her donkey to carry her goods. Jemana was now very nicely dressed and felt a sense of empowerment, which had enabled her to become more resilient. Before receiving this assistance, Jemana described herself as very shy. She's still being supported via the Food for Work programme, but the villagers are no longer digging for ants. They're eating well. And the Food for Work project will continue with another round of food assistance until the harvest comes. Previously, I've visited churches and talked about the work of Tear Fund and haven't had an update such as that to share. But isn't it great to see the progress that is made? Isn't it great to see when people invest in something and it does bear fruit? There is hope. There is change. And myself and Tear Fund would love for you to be a part of that. So we're going to watch another video for a few minutes now. And it includes some photographs from Chad. It includes some music. And it's a time, if you wish to complete one of these. And what I'm also going to do is I'm going to pass around these two baskets, just so you have that sense of connection with that village in Chad. It has been a pleasure, honestly, being with you this morning. I look forward to all of us being part of transforming the lives of our brothers and sisters in Christ, one meal at a time.